Hello, folks. This is Pastor Mike Hoggard coming to you from Watchman Studio with another Watchman video broadcast. This is part two. I think it's going to be a part three, so just bear with me on the fire that comes down from heaven. Where are we? Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. The Bible says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth." This is different than the first beast. "And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed." Then I want you to notice verse 13. "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." So we covered this last week. We talked about the false prophet, what he is able to do. He's going to be able to do wonders. He's going to be able to do lying signs and wonders, the Bible teaches us. And in verse 13 here, it's his ability to bring about those signs and those wonders that lie to everybody, that he is going to make fire to come down from heaven. So, last week, we just kind of touched on this idea of fire being like a blessing from God, as far as fire that is a lamp or a candle that illuminates people's minds. But then there is a fire that comes down that is a judgment of Almighty God. It is his wrath. And we covered that last week. So, when we left off, I kind of hinted at this idea that this fire coming down from heaven, I think it had something to do with Joel's army. I've covered that before. I've covered some things about fire before. We're going to put them together here. We're going to see something, I think, very interesting from the Word of God. Psalm 11:6, "Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and in horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup." Psalm 105:32, "He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land." And both of these verses deal with God's anger, and he pours out his judgment and his wrath upon people by literally sending them rain, but not the kind of rain that you and I get. You and I are Bible believers. I hope you're Bible believers. You and I believe the Bible. God sends us the gentle rain of scripture, of doctrine from the Word of God. And that's what causes us to be nourished and to grow as Bible believers and as Christians and so on. But then God sends down a different type of rain to those that he is, that his wrath is against because of their wickedness. He sends down fiery rain, hailstones that are burning on fire that land and burn everything up in their path. That's what God sends. And something I just noticed here out of Psalm 11:6. Look at what it says again. "Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and in horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup." And I want you to think about that, because if I've heard this once, I've heard it 100 times. From a group, they call themselves the Latter Rain Movement. They're always talking about drinking a cup from God, and that cup makes them drunk in the Spirit. Stop right here. You don't get drunk by God's Holy Spirit. That's not how it happens. Paul said, "Be ye not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." There's a contrast here. One does not equal the other. And so here it is, God, and he says, "Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hands." And God gives them a cup of drunkenness, and because of that drunkenness, this is what they wanted. Because of that, God sends them a rain, all right, but it's not a rain of doctrine and blessing from God that causes them to grow. It's a rain of fire that comes down from heaven. Now, take that idea, and let's go into Joel chapter 2, and let's take a look at just sort of the context of some of these people that call themselves Joel's army. Joel chapter 2, verse 1, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations." And I want you to notice verse 3. "A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. And I have inserted in here Isaiah 13, yea, and nothing shall escape them. So I want you to think about this for a minute. Joel's army, the army that's mentioned in the book of Joel, where God said it was his mighty army. When this army comes, they don't come blessing everybody. They don't come bringing wonderful blessings and an abundance and a fruitful land. They don't come doing that. When Joel's army moves through, they burn and destroy everything in their path. And the land looks like the Garden of Eden. Before they got there, the land looks like a desolate, burnt Sodom and Gomorrah wilderness, just like what's talked about in Isaiah 13, where all the dragons move in because there's nobody there. That's what they leave behind. There's a whole scene of Pentecostals, Charismatics, New Apostolic Reformation, Kansas City Prophets, Latter Rain Movement, Joel's Army. There are people who are identifying themselves as being part of Joel's army. And I want you to get just this part here. What they're telling you is that when God finally gives them their superpowers, yep, they believe that. They believe that God is going to supernaturally empower them to be Joel's army in Joel chapter 2, and that nothing will be able to defeat them. And that they even call themselves the new breed. That means a new genetic code, a new DNA is what it is. All right. I want you to think about that. Anyway, these Christians are telling you by way of scripture that wherever they come in and leave, they leave death, desolation, destruction. That's like three D's in a row here. Death, desolation, destruction, dearth. There's another one. Burning everywhere, flames behind them, and they have completely destroyed everything in their path. And they say, that's what God wanted us to do. We're Joel's army. I'm not buying it. Todd Bentley, you've heard of him? He has, I don't know how many, probably 187 different tattoos on his body. I'm not really sure if that's how many it is. Just a guess here. The two most significant here, you can see he's got his shirt pulled down. He's got an arrow pointing to it. He's got dog tags that say Joel's Army. Here is mercenaries, Joel's Army. And they're basing their doctrine of who they are and who they're going to be on Joel chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. These people honestly think that God is going to give them superpowers, and they're going to go through burning everything in their path and take over the entire earth, and then hand that burnt up, crumpled mess to Jesus and say, here you go, we got the kingdom for you. Did we do a good job? That's what these people honestly believe. I mean, look at this one. Check this one out. Who belongs to this army? This is a crucial hour. The trumpet is sounding, calling on fire. Catch that now. These people refer to themselves as being on fire, literally. Revolutionary believers to enlist in Joel's army. God has been raising up an army of radical warriors from the younger generation for years. They, referred to by many as Joel's army, are tired of religious and church programs. They want to do the works of Jesus. This end time army has one common purpose: to aggressively take ground for the kingdom of God under the authority of Jesus Christ, the dread champion. I'm going to talk about that. The captain of the host is calling out a revival army of fierce spiritual warriors who won't break rank and whose lifestyle is marked by obedience, holiness, and God's, here it is, supernatural power, 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 power. They have been in training for years and many are now ready to be mobilized to establish and advance God's kingdom on the earth. And that's just one statement from a Joel's Army crowd. Here's something that I saw right in here. And I'm turning pages in my Bible to get to it while I'm reading this. It says that they serve the dread champion. Now, they call it Jesus. I don't think so. Get a copy of our King James Pure Bible Search software. Download it from purebiblesearch.com. Free. No strings attached. We're not sending you emails begging for money. Just download the software and install it. Linux, Mac, or Windows. And type in the word champion in search. One place in your Bible. One teeny tiny place in your Bible where the word champion is mentioned. And that is 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4. And there went out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. The only champion ever mentioned in the Bible is Goliath. What does that tell you? These people, Joel's army, they serve a different Jesus. They serve another Jesus. And you say, oh, come on, Hoggard, you're making that up. You don't like these people because they got more power than you. Tell you what let's do. Instead of you believing me, let's do this. Let's take scriptures now. We're going to go to two places in the Bible. And let's compare here a little and there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. Spiritual things here with spiritual things here. Seek ye out the book of the Lord. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. Let's do that. And let's find out exactly what Joel's army really is. Let's find it out. Here it has on the screen. On the left, Joel's army. A description from Joel chapters 1 and 2. Over here, a description of devils from the pit in Revelation 9 when the fifth trumpet sounds. In Joel chapter 1 verse 4, that which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten. So it identifies Joel's army as a locust army. Revelation 9 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts. Joel chapter 2 verse 4, the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses. Revelation 9 7, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Joel chapter 2 verse 5, like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Revelation 9, 9. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. Joel chapter 1, verse 6. For a nation, that would be a breed, that would be a new breed. A nation has come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. Revelation 9, 8. And their teeth are as the teeth of lions. Yep. Joel's army and the devils, angels that I think God imprisoned down there because they made it with human women. I think these devils, very evil creatures, are the gates unlocked. They're coming out. They go out and hurt mankind for 5 months. So much so that people wish to die and they won't be able to. The real Joel's army is not the superhero, super empowered, new breed Christians. Well, maybe it might be. But it's not what they think. Joel's army is an army of devils that God releases upon this earth that go out and everything is as the Garden of Eden before them. And when they're gone through, they leave it a burning, smoldering, ash-covered mess. So we now understand what Joel's army is. And the people who are constantly going along with Joel's army are the people that, for the most part, you'll hear like a fire revival or a fire blessing or fire coming down from heaven. That's what you hear for them. I got some video clips I'm going to show you here in just a second. Get ready. Some of you, if you watch my online show, Pastor Mike Online, every Tuesday and Thursday at 12 p.m. Central, PastorMikeOnline.com. Thought I'd throw that in there. You've probably already seen these because I've talked about them, and I'm going to include them in here just for the context of what it is that we're talking about. What I'm trying to show you is this false prophet brings fire down from heaven. Let me tell you something. There are false prophets right now who are calling for fire to come down from heaven. And it's something very interesting to me. Joel's army, just like they called Jesus the dread champion, and here's the champion in the Bible, and that's Goliath, the giant, the hybrid. Goliath is a picture of the Antichrist of the last days. How do I know? Well, he's got sixes all over him. He's 6 cubits tall in a span. His spearhead weighs 600 shekels of brass. We know that his brothers had 6 fingers on each hand and 6 fingers on each foot. He's got sixes all over him. It's a picture of the beast. By the way, when David was going to confront him, and Saul said, David, are you sure you can do this? David said, look, Saul, thy servant killed me a lion and a bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as them. And if you go to Revelation 13, you'll see that the beast that thou sawest was like a lion and a bear. And the first time I read that, I'm just going, there he is right there. The Antichrist gets defeated. But this champion, their Lord, their Jesus, this champion, look at what he's called in Revelation chapter 9, verse 10 and 11. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Think of the sting of death. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And if you look it up in the Greek and look it up in the Hebrew, guess what you're going to find? Both of those words mean destroyer. That's the dread champion, the other Jesus of the Joel's army crowd. Here in Joel chapter 2, verse 10, the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Notice how when Peter was talking about what was happening, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, look how he described it. Acts chapter 2, verse 19. And I will shew wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. Then look at verse 30. And I will shew wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. In all these places, it talks about that when this happens, fire comes. Here comes the fire. The false prophet has the ability to call fire down from it. We haven't told you what that means yet. We're going to get there. But he has the ability to call fire down from heaven. And that is prophesied here. Joel 2:10, Acts 2:19 and 20, Joel 2:30 and 31. There it is right there. Now, here's what's really interesting. I saw this a few years ago. My jaw just dropped. In fact, I have it's an old Watchman video broadcast that I did, I'm going to say probably 2010, somewhere around in there, called Firestorm. And I'm going to show you, here's this Joel's army crowd now. Remember, God's judgment is that he's going to send a storm over the land. And in that storm, his wrath is going to be poured out, and hailstones and fire are going to fall down from heaven as rain. God is going to literally rain fire down as a destructive force as his judgment and his wrath over mankind's sin. So I'm going to show you. It just stunned me. Here it is. Conferences. One in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Another one, I don't know where it is, called Firestorm. Firestorm presents hidden dimensions. Dun, dun, dun. Firestorm. You get it, right? We want a firestorm. We want a storm of fire to come down from heaven and bathe us all in fire. Do they not understand what they're saying? Do they have no comprehension whatsoever of what it is that they're wanting? Here it is. You have false prophets. Oh, let's see here. Heidi Baker, Matt Sorger, I got videos on those two. I'm going to show you something. These people are false prophets, and everywhere they go and prophesy, they are going to call fire to come down from heaven. That's why they call it firestorm. So, that very concept of a firestorm, Psalm 83:14 says, as the fire burneth the wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest and make them afraid with thy storm. Did you see that? It's a firestorm right here in Psalm 83. And it's about the wrath of Almighty God because of the wickedness on the earth. Now, I'm going to show you two video clips. We're going to put them back to back. First one is Matt Sorger, who was mentioned here on this Firestorm Hidden Dimensions thing. He's doing a conference in South America, and he talks about a fire anointing going on, and you're going to hear him just keep repeating, fire, 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 fire. Benny Hinn does that as well. Then Heidi Baker at the Firestorm Conference. Get ready. If you have not seen this, get ready. You're going to see something that if you have biblical discernment, if you're catching everything now that I've been throwing out here about this fire coming down from heaven, when you watch these two video clips, you're just going to shake your head and you're just going to go, my goodness, the deception that is going on. Take a look at these video clips.
On a person's openness to the spirit, their personality, and their culture. Here in Latin America, the culture is intense and passionate, and it comes out in the way that the spirit moves in them.
Of your glory! Of your glory! Of your glory! Of your glory! Miracles in our hands! Miracles in our hands! Miraculous!
For those of you who wonder about this, you have to realize that the Holy Spirit manifests Himself in power, and it is going right through them, even in the way that electricity might be going through someone.
Miraculous, miraculous, miraculous.
But it charges them with the fire of God for them to carry the anointing to do exploits.
Hook her in there, hook her in, hook her in there. That's the fire. That's the fire of God. 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 It's miracle anointing. More. 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 God's anointing her hands for miracles. Her hands are on fire, burning with the Holy Spirit. It's a miracle anointing. Yeah.
Get him, get him.
Get him, get him, get him, get him.
Hey!
Yeah! More! Whoa! Whoa!
Here, the impartation was so heavy that even Matt could no longer stand up under it. Now, for those of you who have never seen anything like this type of footage, we'd like to refer you to the book of Acts. Second chapter, verse 14, the Apostle Peter defends the way the early Christians were staggering, saying that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. spirit. And the spirit being released into these youngsters is to empower them to administer the same anointing onto others so that revival fire can be spread throughout the world.
A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. And I see a very strange vision right now where I see crowns within crowns within crowns within crowns within crowns within crowns. And as soon as you take the crown off and place it on the child, I see like a pyramid of crowns upon the child's head. And they take the largest one off and place it on another. And there's another one there. And I see I feel like there's this, it's like a mountain of provision of anointing. The more you give away, the more you will receive, says the Lord. So right now, I'm sensing really strongly. It's going to sound a little odd, but too late. I want you just to take in the spirit realm that crown that's on your head and just place it upon someone else. They're going to just get wrecked all over the room. You're just going to, okay, don't do it. Don't do it like it doesn't matter. Do it in the most impartation, the most impartation that you've ever believed for right now. You're going to impart to each other. So you're going to take it. You're going to put it on somebody else's head, a watch, and then say, more, Lord. Whoa! More, Lord. Everybody, place that anointing, that crown, that gift upon someone else's head. Keep praying. Every single one of you, impartation, legacy, 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 legacy. Increase your glory. More, Lord. Try it again, try it again, try it again, try it again. More, Lord. Fire. There's fire. Place it on their heads. Find somebody. I think he's got it. Shake up, Baba. Fire. Place it on another one's head. Fire. Shh. Legacy. Legacy. The greatest thing you've ever seen in your life. Prophesy over them 10 times. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. 10 times.
I did not search the internet looking for these things. There are people. Praise the Lord. There are people who God has given them discernment, given them biblical understanding. You see, they took it seriously when Paul said, test the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. And some of the people that follow our ministry, they've come out of stuff like this because it didn't seem right to them. And they were just going, I don't know what this is. They say it's from God. Maybe it is, but I just don't feel comfortable here. You know what it was? The Holy Spirit in them was dragging them out of that stuff, saying, you're not going to get involved in this. I won't allow it. And they've come out and they got in their Bible and they're studying the scriptures, and God has given them biblical discernment. They tested the spirits. How do you do that? You just open up the Bible and go, well, that spirit says that we're a fire and we're going to come down from heaven. We're going to burn everything in our path like Joel's army. And you're reading in the book of Joel in Revelation 9 and you're going, no, that's a setup for, to worship devils, and I'm not going to have any part of it. I'm out. I think I'll just stick with the King James Bible. I like that. Amen. But you just watch people with discernment watch these video clips and they're just going, unbelievable, unbelievable. Here's another one. Firestorm Ministries. Talking about how they're going to bring fire. Firestorm Ministries is a fire that believes the fire of God will burn away all sin and move out every obstacle as the storm clears the air. We are ordained under the cross-country world mission. Now, let me just kind of correct something here. They're believing that the fire of God that they want to come down from heaven is going to, let's see, their words, burn away all sin. How about if we just trust Jesus Christ dying on the cross and rising again on the third day as being what finally takes care of all of our sin? Can I hear somebody say amen? You see the setup here. You see what's going on here. They're taking the false prophets. The false prophets are out there in full force, in strength, being led by the spirit of the false prophet, moving in them right now, getting people to be ready. It's almost like these Joel's army, new apostolic reformation, Pentecostal, charismatic fire people. It's almost like they're the Elijah before the false prophet comes. They're preparing and setting up the people to actually receive the fire that's going to come down from heaven. Wait till I show you what this fire is. Here's another one. Look at this. Do you get this? Heaven on earth. Revival fire. Free international conference. All nations, all generations, all denominations. They're encompassing everybody, and they're going to have a fire revival, and it's going to be heaven on earth. Not earth rising up to heaven. It's heaven falling down to the earth. That's what they're pushing here. That's what they're teaching here. That's what they're doing here. There's actually like an ancient symbol that displays that. I do this a lot of times in the Watchman broadcast. It's like this right here. It is the square, although my fingers are not quite square, and the compass. This represents the female, the earth. This represents the male, the heaven. And the male of heaven is going to come down to the earth. And they're going to join together. That's Daniel chapter 2. Daniel's fourth kingdom there in Daniel chapter 2. The kingdom that Nebuchadnezzar was looking into was a fourth kingdom. Think of principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Think of it that way. And they are going to literally mingle themselves with the seed of men and thus make a new breed. These are I'm telling you, it's a setup. Here's another one. Calling down the fire of God. Many proven prophetic voices, but probably not like, you know, Joel and Peter and Paul and Isaiah and Jeremiah. Many proven prophetic voices are declaring a great move of God that is burgeoning and about to break forth. This is a move that will be marked by the fire of God sweeping across the earth, burning up the things of the enemy and of the flesh to reveal the presence and power of the Lord and his kingdom in notable and remarkable ways. On and on and on and on. They're all saying the same thing, that this fire of God, they're calling it down. Come on down, fire from heaven. I'm telling you, these are false prophets setting up for the false prophet, when he comes and appears and starts doing all his stuff, he's going to call fire down from heaven. And they're going, yes, I want that. Yes, I receive that. Ooh, because they're doing it now. They're doing it now. In fact, if you want to see it, here is Mr. Drunkard himself. Rodney Howard Brown. All you got to do is watch a few videos of his, and you can see the drunk. There is a video of Kenneth Copeland, Rodney Howard Brown, mocking the scriptures. They're up on stage, talking in tongues to one another. One is one tongue, one is another tongue. You cannot understand a word they say. Everybody in the audience is clapping and hooing and hollering and laughing uncontrollably while these two idiots, drunken idiots, up on the stage are up there pretending that they have the Holy Spirit of God. And Rodney Howard Brown is referred to in many places as the Holy Ghost bartender. Because every place he goes, he makes people drunk in the Holy Spirit. He appeared on Sid Roth's It's Supernatural not too long ago. And Sid Roth, I'm telling you, if there's a guy out there right now that is using media to promote seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, it's Sid Roth. He has every heretic that there is on his show. They've never called me. I don't know what that means. Anyway, he's had every heretic on his show blathering about how God has a supernatural move here and about how all these people went to heaven and they saw things in heaven and that God led them to come back and these people can put fire from their hands and these people can see things and all this nonsense. And then Rodney Howard Brown is on there and he's giving his testimony. He's talking about how he can make people drunk in the spirit. He's talking about the fire of God coming down, the fire of God coming down. And then he does it. He's going to go into cinema mode now. And here's a clip of it. He's got everybody. If you watch this video, you go to YouTube, Sid Roth interview with Rodney Howard Brown on It's Supernatural. You'll see the whole video. Everybody's in the stands going, yes, yes, I want it. I want it. And now Rodney Howard Brown's going to strike the cinematic pose and he's going to pray over everybody and he's going to say, let the fire of God fall right now. Rodney Howard Brown, Heidi Baker, Matt Sorger, all of these others, Todd Bentley, Rick Joyner, New Apostolic Reformation, Latter Day, the Latter Rain Movement, you name it, they're coming. Manifest Sons of God Movement, they're all part and parcel of the same thing. That is, they are setting this world up, especially concentrating upon the Christian world, setting churches up so that when the real false prophet comes and he calls down the fire from heaven, they're going to take it. They want it. They have been fed this stuff for years. Everybody's telling them it's just around the corner. You know what? It could be, but it's coming. So now we're going to find out from the Bible. What is that? I mean, have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about, you know, the story of Elijah and he calls down fire from heaven? And remember in the story of Elijah, the fire coming down upon the sacrifice was going to be the sign of whose God was really God. So you got to look at it like this. When the false prophet comes and he calls fire down from heaven, that he's going to tell the entire world, see, the God that sent that is the real God. Okay? That God, I think, would probably have to be Lucifer, the dragon, the devil. There's something about the dragon. Something comes out of his mouth every time he opens his mouth. We'll see that in a little bit. All right? It's a hint. But I'm going to show you. Remember this verse, Psalm 105, verse 32. He gave them hail for rain, flaming fire in their land. Now, let me stop right here. Let me go back for just a second. In Psalm 105:32, it's talking about what happened in the land of Egypt. I'm going to ask you a question. When this hail fire fell down from heaven, it landed on everybody that was in Egypt. Where did it not fall? Everybody who was in the land of Goshen, God's people. Are you catching this? The fire that came down from heaven fell on all the wicked people of Egypt, but it didn't fall on God's own people. I mean, you would think, You would think that if God wanted Israel to have a fire, on fire, you're burning up revival, that God would have rained a little hail fire upon the land of Goshen. Not one hailstone, not one, fell. All the land of Goshen. God was separating his people out from the rest of the world. You catch that? So let's look at this verse again. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in the land. I remember studying this and I'm going, I wonder if the Bible uses the phrase flaming fire. Those of you who have the Pure Bible Search software, I'm going to give you about 2 seconds to look it up. Okay? One, two. Here we go. Ready? Here is another. There's several instances. Here is another instance of flaming fire. And God's going to show you what it is. Psalm 104:4. Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers of flaming fire. Now think of it now. You're saying, okay, I don't understand. His angels and his ministers, well, that would be the good angels. No? God clearly, we saw it, God clearly identifies Joel's army as, in the book of Revelation chapter 9, this evil band of devils that come up out of the pit. God calls them his mighty army. And you know what? Those devils that are down there in prison are being held there by God. When God releases them, God is the one who's going to release them. And when God releases them and they come out of the pit, that's God's doing. They're going to be doing exactly what God ordains them to do. And God's going to use them. Think about what he did with Pharaoh. Once Pharaoh released Israel to go into the wilderness and find the promised land, and God had Israel over by the shores of the Red Sea, then God went and got Pharaoh and his horses and his chariots. That kind of sounds like Joel's army. And he brought him over there, and Pharaoh did exactly what God wanted him to do. Think of the day before Ahab was killed in battle. God dispatched an evil angel, a lying spirit, and this spirit volunteered and said, God, this is how I'll do it. I'll go be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets unto Ahab. And God said, you got the job. Go do it. And God dispatched this lying angel to go be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets. So here's what I'm telling you. I don't care if it's Jesus Christ or Lucifer himself. They are God's agents and God uses them and God created them for a specific purpose. God created the devil a dragon. He's a dragon. Always has been. God made him that way. Okay? You don't see anything in the Bible where he's, well, he became a dragon because he was bad. He was created to be that way. He was created to be a serpent, a fiery, flying serpent. We're going to look at that here in a little bit. But I want you to catch this because he's telling you that the flaming fire that came down in the land of Egypt was a prototype of what's coming down in the last days. And we know for a fact that there are at least, well, exactly 1/3 of the angelic realm is in heaven right now. And we also know that they are going to do what? Fall. Revelation 12:3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Fire is red, by the way. Having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did... Stop right here. Stars. We have one that's relatively close to our planet. It's 93 million miles away. We call it El Sol. The sun. The sun is, goodness gracious, a great ball of fire. It's what it is. All right? So I want you to just kind of think about this. Stars are these burning objects. Go back to it. Think about it. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, did cast them to the earth. The dragon stood before the woman which was nearby to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And then in verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Picture it now. Let's put it together. Here a little, there a little. God said he sent flaming fire down to the earth. Okay? Then he defines flaming fire as his angels. Something about angels, that's what they are. They are flaming fire. So in Revelation chapter 12, we have a third. And that was always curious to me because the Bible says there is an innumerable amount of angels. If it's innumerable, how do you get a third? I think God knows the answer to it and we'll never figure it out. But a third of the angelic realm, flaming fires, come down from heaven. They fall from the heaven to the earth. So think about it now. All of these false prophets, all of these people who are saying, let the fire come down from heaven, let the fire come down. There's probably even songs. Let the fire come down from heaven. Let the fire come down from heaven. I just made that up. But they want the fire to come down from heaven. And here you have a third of the angels, which is probably a lot, that are being thrown out of heaven, flaming fires being thrown out of heaven. And now we have people on the earth going, ooh, I receive that. I receive that. Yes, come into me, flaming fire from heaven. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. I think that's what it is. I think that's what's going on. I think that the wicked people who hate the word of God, God is going to send them a fiery judgment. Here's another example of like angelic beings being a representative of fire. Just so we have more witnesses. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 11. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Psalm 68:17 will tell you what that chariot was. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. So right here, putting two and two together here, two verses together. We have a chariot of fire and horses of fire came and divided Elijah from Elisha. And then God tells you that the chariots that come down are angels. You want a picture of that? Go to Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, you have four cherubims, and they have a platform over their head, and you have the throne of God and God sitting on that throne. And those cherubims have wheels, just like a chariot does. See, this Bible's not making anything up. It's telling you how God designed the sum of the angelic realm. I just think this is so cool. See, you're getting another witness in the Bible that angels are a flame of fire. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I think it's saying here? I think it's saying that when we see the Lord being revealed to us in the clouds, and I think we're going to go up to meet him in those clouds, I think God at that time is going to send flaming fire down upon this earth. And the false prophets going, yes, come down, flaming fire, come burn us all alive. The false prophets are doing it right now. Ezekiel chapter 1, I mentioned that. The chariots and these cherubs have wheels in them, Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 13, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps that went up and down among the living creatures. And the fire was bright and out of the fire went forth lightning. See, there you go. There you go. These angels, the cherubs of God, they're fire. That's what God made them to be. Here we go. Numbers chapter 21. Oh, I like this one. The people spake against God and against Moses. Stop right here. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about these false prophets speaking against God. And they're speaking against Moses, the representative of God, or the mediator of the Old Testament between man and God. Christ is the mediator of the New Testament. And they speak against God and against his mediator. So here's what God does. Wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. You know what they do? They hate the Bible. Verse 6, and the Lord sent what kind of serpents? Fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. These were no ordinary serpents. They were fiery serpents. So, is it possible that when God visited Israel in Numbers 21 with these serpents, that they were not your typical snakes that you find in the wilderness or in the desert? I think it's possible, because we're told that these were fiery serpents. And these fiery serpents bit the people and they died. So think about now, think about serpents in general. Think about one serpent, Genesis chapter 3. What did he do to Eve? Some say he had sex with Eve. Bible doesn't say anything. It doesn't say anything about that. There's one thing that we know for a fact that the serpent did to Eve. One thing for sure. We get to that a little bit later on. But these fiery serpents bit all the people. And what they did was they injected poison into them, and that poison caused them to die. There was a case just last couple weeks here in the state of Missouri. Man went wading into a water. There are venomous snakes in Missouri, but supposedly there are no snakes that can actually kill somebody as long as they get medical attention in time. This man went wading in the water, was bit twice by snakes. Never said anything, went home, went to bed. His wife gets up the next morning and he is dead. The venom killed him. These snakes bit these people. Now there's a typology there. There's a symbol there. There's something that God wants us to understand. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look in other scriptures to find out what it is this poison was, or what it represented, and what it would be in today's world. Deuteronomy 32, 24. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with burning heat and with bitter destruction. You see that? And I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them with the poison of serpents of the dust. Look it down in verse 32. And I've used this many times. For their vine is the vine of Sodom. And of the fields of Gomorrah, their grapes are the grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. Remember that cup? Remember that cup that God said he was going to give? This is going to be the portion of their cup. And it's going to be flaming fire. He's going to devour them with fire. Here is the vine of Sodom, which is the poison of serpents. And it's their cup. And their vine is not the same vine as Jesus Christ. It's a different one. And so when they drink of this cup, or when they have this poison put into their body, it's going to kill them. It's not going to bless them. It's going to kill them. So what is this? And it kind of alludes to it a little bit here. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and my words abide in you, ye shall bring forth much fruit. You'll please my Father. I'm kind of paraphrasing that, but that's generally what it says. So if Christ is the vine and what he delivers to us is his pure words and his doctrine, then what does the vine of Sodom have in it? It's got poison in it. What would that be? Think about on a snake where their venom is and how they deliver it. God designed it, and he did it on purpose. He designed it to where it comes out of their mouth. So think about things that come out of people's mouths, and you get it. Psalm 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. They're poison. Now notice it. They speak lies, and it's their poison. It's like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Isn't that cool? We just saw that Joel's army has the teeth of lions. And if you haven't been convinced yet that Joel's army is the devil's army coming up out of the pit, right here, the Bible says that David wants God to punch them in the mouth and knock their teeth out, the teeth of the lions. Because the lies that come out of their mouth are like the poison of serpents. I want to tell you something. The lies that are being told in churches all over the world, whether it's the American churches, Australia, England, Kenya, doesn't matter. The lies that are coming out of the pulpit are nothing but pure poison to a person, not to his body, to his soul. And it afflicts the death of the soul upon them. And God likens the words of false teachers' mouth and their lies, just like the poison of serpents, because God designed it to where that poison comes right out of the mouth. Psalm 140 verse 3, they have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. It's all talking about the words that they say. Romans 3:13, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues have they used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Look at James chapter 3. He's going to connect something. He's going to connect that poison with something. If you've ever read James chapter 3, you know what it is. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Man, this Bible's right, isn't it? It's the words that these false prophets say. Remember what Paul said about Hymenaeus and Philetus? He said, their words doth eat as a canker or a cancer. A cancer starts out as one cell in your body. And if your body can't destroy it very quickly, it turns into 2 and then 4 and 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, and 256, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's kind of like hard drives. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And before long now, there's a cancer tumor in somebody's body, and the doctors look at it and say, we can't do anything about it. It's gone too far. And that cancer will not cease to devour that entire body. And Paul said that their words, the things that come out of their mouth, between their lips, with their tongue, when it comes out, it eats just like a cancer. When it comes out of their mouth, it's poison that goes into the soul that destroys the soul. Many people right now, shaking my head, many people right now are under the influence of the vine of Sodom because of the church that they go to. And what's being said and taught and what's being experienced in these churches. Since they won't give them the pure word of God, then they give something in its place. And it's nothing but pure poison. Fiery serpents. Those are devils. That's what they are. Doctrines of devils, fiery serpents, biting people, and they died. Now, that's Numbers 21. You know what that is? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. It's the fourth book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you go to the fourth book of the New Testament, you know what you find? Jesus in John 3 saying, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so watch this. Here is Jesus, the Son of God, being lifted up. Belief and trust in him and his work on the cross and his resurrection. is what defeats and kills all the poison. And the Bible specifically said, Numbers 21, that anybody that had been bitten, if they would just look upon the serpent that was lifted up by Moses, that they would live. That cross has the ability. Jesus, the Word of God, has the ability. It's the anti-venom. Amen? When you get tired of the lies, then you come to the Master and get full of the truth. And that's the anti-venom to the lies that you heard. And you read the Bible and you're just going, oh, wow. Man, this Bible's right. I'm glad I found this. Wow. Somebody say amen. Here, Job chapter 41. Canst thou, you're going to like this one. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? So he's talking about Leviathan, and here's what Leviathan does. Out of his mouth, in verse 19, go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils goeth smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. Now, we've already seen, this is Leviathan. Leviathan is that dragon in the sea. It's like the devil or the beast or whatever, okay? Here's Leviathan. Remember, we saw fiery serpents and poison came out of their mouth. In this case here, we have Leviathan, the dragon, and coming out of his mouth, lamps, sparks, a flame goes out of his mouth. Stop right here. I just remembered something. Back in Revelation chapter 9, something very, very, very interesting. Because I got this little theory about what it was that fell from heaven in Revelation chapter 9. See, in Isaiah 14, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Okay? And you look in Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Here we have Leviathan that's on fire. Fire coming out of his mouth. And here we have a star, which is an angel, which is fire coming down from heaven. I just think there's a connection here. But here's what I want you to think about. And we're gonna take a break right here. And next week we're gonna pick the rest of this up. And I'm gonna try to kind of set you up a little bit, all right? So we just saw the scripture, Job 41. Here's Leviathan, he's a dragon. And fire and sparks come out of the dragon's mouth. Now, we've already learned from the scripture that indicates that because it doesn't come out of his fingers, doesn't come out of his, you know, backside, thank God, it comes out of his mouth. Just like words come out of our mouth. God designed it that way. So I want you to think of the dragon, the serpent, saying something, and a spark comes out of him and does something in the Bible. I want you to think about that and ponder that, pray about it. Okay? And always go to the Word of God to see whether these things be right or not. Okay? That's what you do. Now, I encourage you to study fire, flames, lamps, sparks, study the whole thing. And it won't be time wasted, I promise you. And you are going to see where the Bible says His Word is like a fire. That's God's Word. Okay? I think there's a difference. I think the fire of God, which there is a destroying fire of God, which I think this is it. But the fire of God comes out like a lamp to our feet and a light into our path. Think of the candlestick in the tabernacle. Even in this world right now, I'm surrounded by lights. There's one here, one there, and one there. Okay? Do you know what's going on inside those lamps? Electricity is making this little fire inside of there. Candles, when they burn with fire. So I think the difference that you'll see in the scriptures is that the real fire of God burns to illuminate and to give us light. But the judgment wrath fire that God sends down, that's a consuming fire, and that destroys all the wicked. And you can tell these false prophets like Heidi Baker and Todd Bentley and all these, and others like Benny Hinn, Rodney Howard Brown, when they want the fire to come down from heaven, they don't say much about the fire lighting our path so we can go. They want this big, massive flame to come down and burn them all up. That's how they talk. They're setting people up for the false prophet who's going to call fire down from heaven. And I think that fire coming down from heaven is one third of the angelic realm that falls down to the earth. And buddy, I want to tell you what. Once that happens, this earth has had it. The judgment of God is coming, people. Will you receive not the burning, let's catch me on fire kind of fire? Will you receive the lamp that shines on your path? Will you receive the seven candles? I talked about this PMO. On the candlesticks in the tabernacle, a lady showed me this. We talked about it. There are 66 decorations that go up to the seven candles. 66. That's how many books are in your Bible. You know what that tells me? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So you study fire. Study flame. Study fiery things. Study sparks. Study all these things from the Bible on your own. And you'll begin to see the difference between the flame of illumination, which God gives us as we read the Word and study the Word, and then that fiery judgment and wrath of Almighty God upon a disobedient generation. That's what I think you'll see. And so we're going to leave you. Remember, sparks come out of the dragon's mouth, right? We'll touch on that next week. All right, good to be with you today. Pastor Mike here. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.